Hello there. It is Eric Erickson across the nation. I hope you're doing well. The phone number, if you would like to be a part of this here program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, I got to make a sensitive point. I've actually got to make several sensitive points. Some people are probably about to get upset with me here. Larry Elder ran for governor of California and lost. Larry Elder, say what you will about Larry Elder. Larry Elder is polished, on his feet, sharp, talks off the top of his head 3 hours a day, has command of the facts, knows what he's doing, comes across as a serious person. And Larry Elder could not beat Gavin Newsom. And a whole lot of the people who thought Larry Elder would be a viable challenger for Gavin Newsom think that Vernon Jones will be a viable challenger to Brian Kemp in Georgia. Donald Trump wants to beat Georgia's governor. Now, a couple of things here. Unlike some states, so in Florida, for example, in Florida, the governor of Florida handpicks the Secretary of State. So the Secretary of State in Florida is the governor's appointee. In Georgia, the Secretary of State is an elected official. The constitutions of the 50 states are all different. The constitution of one state has no bearing on the other state. The former president is familiar with New Jersey. New Jersey's governor picks everybody. New Jersey's governor picks their Secretary of State. Florida's governor picks its Secretary of State. Georgia doesn't. So in Georgia, the constitution of the state of Georgia requires, very much like Louisiana does, that the Secretary of State is in charge of elections and the governor has no way to intervene in, fix, improve, change, do anything with the election. Consequently, you may be angry with Brad Raffensperger, Georgia Secretary of State, for his handling of the election. Governor Brian Kemp had no constitutional power to intervene whatsoever to do anything. Not even to change the deal that the Secretary of State struck with Stacey Abrams' group in court. Donald Trump's supporters are trying to find someone to beat Brian Kemp. Donald Trump himself is trying to find someone to beat Brian Kemp. I actually have heard now from multiple people that he's called several individuals you would all know if you live in Georgia, trying to get them to run, and they've all said no. In fact, they've all dissuaded him from trying to take out Brian Kemp. That leaves right now Vernon Jones. Vernon Jones is a Democratic member of the state legislature in Georgia. He used to be in charge of DeKalb County, which is where all the terrible drivers in Georgia live. I swear to you, if you drive down the road and you got a slow poke in the fast lane, it's either somebody from Florida or somebody from DeKalb County, Georgia. And Vernon Jones used to be in charge of that county, had a series of issues there involving sexual harassment and the like, went into the state legislature, spoke out against the fetal heartbeat legislation in Georgia, was very much a pro-abortion Democrat until he decided to become a Republican and run against Brian Kemp, and now suddenly he's a pro-lifer. Larry Elder could not beat Gavin Newsom. Vernon Jones is not going to beat Stacey Abrams. There are enough women in the suburbs, when they find out about Vernon Jones's problems, won't vote for him. Stacey Abrams would get elected. This is why so many Republicans are encouraging Donald Trump to move on to other people and stop trying to take out Brian Kemp. Now, Donald Trump has also picked Herschel Walker as a Senate candidate in Georgia. I'm open to Herschel Walker, but I know Herschel Walker has a lot of baggage that the Democrats are going to use to destroy him. And in Georgia, the data is obvious and clear that Republicans in Georgia can no longer get people elected by themselves. They have to have independent voters to help. And I'm afraid that a lot of independent voters who were not here when Herschel Walker was a star for the University of Georgia, that they will not go vote for him. And it might be best to have someone who is not so clearly tied to Donald Trump. because in Georgia, the election wasn't stolen. It's just suburban people didn't like Donald Trump. And so they voted for Joe Biden and then voted for David Perdue and to a degree Kelly Loeffler. In fact, with Donald Trump not on the ballot in the runoff in January, there was a 6-point swing of suburban white voters back to the GOP. So I'm afraid you put Herschel Walker on the ballot, he's so tied to Donald Trump, suburban voters are going to either stay home or vote for Warnock, who in his advertising at least comes off as a nice guy, even though he's a rabid socialist who's out to destroy the country in the way he votes. Discernment is what I'm getting at, and I hate to ruffle your feathers along the way, but I think you got to have some good discernment when you pick candidates. Now, this gets me to Mitch McConnell. If you know me and you have listened to this show for the last decade or you have read anything I've written in the past 20 years, I am not a Mitch McConnell fan. I think that Mitch McConnell has spent way more time trying to help the liberal members of his Senate conference than he has getting conservative legislation passed. I have, however, come to terms with the fact that Mitch McConnell has beaten me. And I am coming at least to try to appreciate the things he does for the Republican Party. Why? What do I mean by this? Back in 2014, I actually supported Matt Bevin. Matt Bevin went on to become the governor of Kentucky. But Matt Bevin was a candidate, I guess it was 2010, was a candidate for the United States Senate against Mitch McConnell. Matt Bevin ran against McConnell as a U.S. Senate candidate, backed by Jim DeMint, by me, by others. We raised money for him. It touted him when I was running Red State. He's a great guy. Matt Bevin is a fantastic guy. Went on to be a good governor, had problems towards the end, lost his reelection, but he's a profoundly decent, wonderful man, great family, good dad, and McConnell clobbered him. At some point, Donald Trump will learn the lesson I have had to learn. You're not going to beat Mitch McConnell. Donald Trump as touting Mo Brooks. He wants Mo Brooks to run. He wants Mo Brooks to be the next U.S. Senator from Alabama. Mo Brooks would be a good candidate. I like Mo Brooks. Mo Brooks refuses to say that Mitch McConnell should be ousted as Senate Republican leader. Tommy Tuberville, the current incumbent Alabama senator, no dice. In fact, there's not a single senator, including Ted Cruz, who's willing to at this moment go on the record and say, get rid of Mitch McConnell. You're not going to get rid of Mitch McConnell. And to the extent that Donald Trump wants to make this a fight about Mitch McConnell, it's not a fight about Joe Biden. It's not a fight about Nancy Pelosi. It's not a fight about the Democrats. It's not a fight about the economy. It's not a fight about anything on which we can win. We're not going to win against Mitch McConnell. Believe me, I've tried. Jim DeMint's tried. A lot of people have tried. You're not gonna beat Mitch McConnell at this. Mitch McConnell, his Senate Republican colleagues realize he is there to do one major thing, that is to get conservative judges appointed, which he's done ably. It is to get past what they can get past when they can get it passed, tax cuts. Donald Trump's agenda was dependent on Mitch McConnell for passage. And don't tell me that any Senate majority leader could do it because, my gosh, have you not lived through the Bill Frist era or the Trent Lott era? He needed Mitch McConnell to be able to do it. I have been critical of Mitch McConnell. I have gone after Mitch McConnell. I have supported candidates against Mitch McConnell. I've supported candidates who said they would vote against Mitch McConnell. They've either all gone down in flames because they wound up being crazy people or terrible candidates, or they got co-opted. You're not going to beat Mitch McConnell. You might as well take Mitch McConnell for what he is. He is the Senate Republican leader who knows how to build inside coalitions you and I don't appreciate. He knows an inside game you and I aren't playing. He sees things on the outside that we don't see, and maybe given the fact that he was able to get Donald Trump's tax cuts passed, given the fact that he was able to get all of Donald Trump's judges confirmed, given the fact that he was able to rush through Amy Coney Barrett at the end and Brett Kavanaugh, given all of those situations, and those were Donald Trump's picks, maybe we just need to say, all right, we're not going to make this about Mitch McConnell. Let's make this about finding really good candidates who can get elected in states where otherwise they may not get elected. And I'm afraid he's even bungling that up to some degree. You got to find good candidates around the country. Candidate quality matters. The performance of sucking up to Donald Trump does not make a candidate good. Now, if you can find a candidate who is loyal to Donald Trump and is also a very good candidate, find that candidate. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with candidates who are super loyal to Donald Trump. The problem is putting loyalty to Trump above getting elected. If the Republicans lose more seats to the Democrats, it provides more room for the Democrats to get rid of the filibuster. We got to take back the Senate. So if you're in Georgia, you need to exercise some discernment. Who is actually the candidate who can beat Raphael Warnock? And I would submit it might not be the candidate who Donald Trump likes. Maybe it is. I'm persuadable on that. I really am persuadable on that. I got concerns, but I'm persuadable. We need to see him on the, we need to see Herschel Walker on the campaign trail. We need to see him regularly engaged with other candidates. We need to see how he can do against Raphael Warnock. If you're in North Carolina, who are you going to get? I personally like Mark Walker up there. Is that the one who's, yeah. The former governor is great. President Trump has made an endorsement. I don't know anything about the guy. Maybe he's good. But if you're going based on President Trump's endorsement and nothing else, you got to be mindful that we got to have viable candidates who can also, in a state like North Carolina or in a state like Georgia, actually convince a group of independent voters who aren't tied to Donald Trump and may not like him that this is the guy for you. If you can't, you're going to have a real, real hard time getting anyone to take it back the Senate. And the same goes in Missouri. Eric Greitens, the former governor, is scandal plagued. And it looks in fact like he is doing well in the race. And that concerns me again, because you know, Missouri Republicans have a history of going with candidates. Hi, Todd Akin, that blow it in the general election. I'm concerned, very concerned, that if Republicans don't pick the best candidate, and it may not be the candidate you align with 100%, if you don't pick the best candidate to win, we're going to throw away our Senate chances. We got to find a good candidate in Arizona. It looks like the attorney general, who probably is the best candidate, is running away with it. In Ohio, J.D. Vance, it comes out, J.D. Vance is a Democrat who likes Donald Trump, so he's running as a Republican. I mean, his policy positions, they're pro-union, pro-big government. I don't think he's ever met an issue he hadn't wanted government to come after and solve. I got problems with that. He and Josh Mandel, the secretary, former secretary of state there, or treasurer in the state, they appear to be destroying each other. Republicans have got to find good candidates. And along the way, I got to say this, you got to make this about the Democrats. If you make it about a stolen election in November, most voters don't agree with you on that. They don't care about the issue, and you're going to lose them. You make it about loyalty to Donald Trump, you're going to lose a significant portion of independent voters. So the question is, do you want to advance the Trump agenda, or do you want to advance loyalty to Donald Trump? Because you can advance Donald Trump's agenda and his positions and his policies with candidates who aren't necessarily doing the performative leg humping of Donald Trump. It's your call. The voters will decide. And I am really concerned with the level of discernment being engaged by a number of people around the country right now in the pursuit of good candidates who can possibly win, possibly, maybe do it. But that's on y'all, not me. I just need you to think cautiously about the road we are going down, because if the Democrats gain more seats in the Senate, it could be bad. If the Republicans don't take back the House next year, it could be really bad. And we need to do what we can to take back the House and the Senate. And part of that is finding really good candidates. Now, I will say this, because I just got a text message from a friend who said, you know, the one thing Brian Kemp could have done is he could have called a special session of the legislature between the general election and the runoff and hash things out. Yes, he could have. It would have been a sideshow. It would have been a distraction. It would have taken the attention away from the Loeffler-Perdue race. And more than anything, had they changed any of the rules of the run-up to the runoff, there's no way the Supreme Court would have allowed them to go into effect anyway, so it would have been a waste of time, because you wouldn't have gotten any change in the law. Why? Because there is well-settled Supreme Court precedent I mean, your worst lawyer that you can find, a guy right out of law school, can tell you it is settled Supreme Court precedent that between a general election and a runoff, you're not allowed to change the election rules at all. So had they done anything to change the rules, it would have been held up by the Supreme Court. You would 9-0 more likely than not. So yeah, I guess Governor Kemp could have called a special election, but to what end? To distract from the runoff without actually getting any laws changed? I don't know if that would have been money well spent for the taxpayer. It certainly wouldn't have gotten anything accomplished rules-wise. Yes, you can call in nationwide if you want. It's Eric Erickson from my flagship station, WSB in Atlanta, and it is just rainy here. It's just gross. It's like you go outside and it's not raining. It's still raining. It's so humid. And I gotta let you guys pull back the curtain a little bit. So I've got Invisalign braces. And I've had them for a while, and I don't know, I guess in the last couple of days or so, it has pushed my teeth a little more. And every time I talk, I bite my tongue. And my tongue is swollen, and I am surprised I am able to articulate any words. Some words I try to articulate, and I can just feel all of a sudden my tongue being bit again, because this is painful. A little while ago, a little longer, I'll be fine. Now, I wasn't going to mention that, but I feel like I need to because I'm very self-conscious of every time I bite down, I feel like I'm biting my tongue. What I do want to talk about right now, okay, have y'all noticed this? Because I'm noticing this. In fact, I got a text from my kid from school this morning before school started that she mentioned offhandedly it was a full moon and one of the kids said that she would need to go charge her crystals. My kid has been asking me about crystals because several of her friends, most of whom do not go to the deeply religious Christian school, but go to a government school, they have gotten into crystals. But it's not just my kid. I've seen this more and more online. People embracing crystals, astrology, horoscopes, New Age religiousness. We are falling back into paganism. Rapidly. Just as an aside, I am now in the minority of people who I don't have a tattoo. Most people I know now at this point of my age and younger have tattoos. I don't. My wife has tattoos. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, one of the things that the Israelites were not allowed to do, the Jewish people were not allowed to do, is get tattoos. It's prohibited. Now, why? Why was it? Part of it was cleanliness. Part of it was to make distinct separation. In other words, the suggestion here is a lot of the tribes around Judah and Israel had tattoos, and to separate themselves from the masses, they did not have tattoos. They were known by their lack of tattoos. Now, what I think is interesting is as we creep back into a neo-paganism, a post-Christian America, the rise of tattoos happens again. And this time, though, of course, in the New Testament, you will know us. You'll know we're Christians by our love, not by our lack of tattoos. Tattoos, perfectly fine. You can get one. But it's just interesting to see this very old paganism seeping back into the world so quickly. Hi there, it is Eric Erickson here. Welcome. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you would like to be a part of the program, I would like to focus on something that I normally never focus on. I would like to talk about the Emmys. I know. Last night was the Emmys. And the primetime Emmys. And you know, I remember when I was going to CNN or Fox News, one of the things Bill Schein, who was then the number two at Fox News, pointed out is that Fox doesn't cover the Emmys or the Oscars or the Grammys or anything. The other networks obsess over it. But I want to for a point. There's just a point that needs to be made. And I got to tell you, I subscribe to a newsletter, Richard Rushfield. It's called The Ankler. It is probably the greatest download on Hollywood you can get if you want to keep up with the cultural currents in Hollywood. He's pretty critical of it. But I want to point something out. Lead actress drama series, Olivia Colman, white. Supporting actress drama series, Gillian Anderson, white. Supporting actress comedy series, Hannah Waddingham, white. Lead actor drama series, Josh O'Connor, white. Lead actress in a limited series, Kate Winslet, white. Supporting actor, comedy series, Brett Goldstein, white. Supporting actor, drama series, Tobias Menzies, white. Lead actress, comedy series, Jean Smart, white. Lead actor, comedy series, Jason Sudeikis, white. Lead actor, limited series, Ewan McGregor, white. Supporting actor, limited series, Evan Peters, white. Supporting actress, limited series, Julianne Nicholson, white. Writing for comedy series, Paul Downs, white. Writing comedy series, Jen Statsky, white. Writing comedy series, Lucia Anilio, white. Television movie, Christmas on the Square, white, 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 white. Writing drama series, Peter Morgan, white. Directing comedy series, Lucia Aniello, white. Directing drama series, Jessica Hobbs, white. Directing limited series, Scott Frank, white. Competition program, RuPaul's Drag Race. Depends on how they identify, I guess. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Variety Talk Series, white. Primetime Emmy Governors Award, Debbie Allen, not white. A lot of white there for Hollywood. A whole lot of white there. A lot of white. Lots and lots and lots of white. Lots of white. So white, I mean, you had the white out at the Penn State-Auburn game, and these people must have been in the stands. It was so white. So real white. For a crowd that lectures us on Black Lives Matters and diversity, it sure was a lot of white people winning at the Emmy. Now, why was that? Well, the shows were actually good shows. The Crown won a lot for drama series. Ted Lasso won a lot for comedy series. Kate Winslet won for that series on HBO, Mare of Easttown or whatever. I mean, it was all whiteness, though. At the same time, Hollywood wants us to say that we are in the apex of creation in Hollywood. It is a golden age, the streaming services. And I got to actually credit Richard Rushfield with this one. Let me read you the list of the shows nominated for Best Drama this year. This is the golden age of unlimited budgets. Apple's streaming service, Apple TV Plus, Netflix, HBO, HBO Max, you name it, Disney Plus, you got all the streaming services. These are the best drama series. The Crown on Netflix, The Boys on Amazon, Bridgerton on Netflix, The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, Lovecraft Country, I have no idea what that one's on, The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, Pose, no idea what that's on, This Is Us. So The Crown, The Boys, Bridgerton, The Handmaid's Tale, Lovecraft Country, Mandalorian, Pose, and This Is Us. That is, right now, supposedly, allegedly, we're now in the golden age of television drama because of unlimited budgets. Let's go back 5 years ago when we were not in the golden age. What were the shows that were the best drama nominees for the Emmys? Game of Thrones, The Americans, Better Call Saul, Downton Abbey, Homeland, House of Cards, and Mr. Robot. Was that not the golden age? Game of Thrones, The Americans, Better Call Saul, Downton Abbey, Homeland, House of Cards, Mr. Robot. That wasn't the golden age, but The Boys and Bridgerton and The Handmaid's Tale, that is. Hollywood seems very, very full of itself these days. They want to lecture us on Black Lives Matters and give all of their awards to white people, with few exceptions. They want to tell us we're in the golden age with unlimited budgets and the greatest production ever seen in unlimited budgets. And they're turning out The Crown as opposed to Game of Thrones. But there's more to it than that. They gathered. Never really mentioned COVID other than Seth Rogen, the comedian, and they were maskless. Hollywood elite demanding you get vaccinated and wear masks. They're maskless. Now, they say everyone there was vaccinated, and that's fine. That's what I've been saying. Everybody's vaccinated, no big deal, except the elite in this country tell you even though you're vaccinated, you must still wear a mask. And these people did not wear a mask, nor did London Breeden. I can't believe that's actually her name. London Breeden is the mayor of San Francisco. She has passed an order that everyone in San Francisco must at all times be masked. Even the vaccinated must be masked in San Francisco. And over the weekend, she was seen at a nightclub. And at that nightclub, she was seen dancing.
And I think it's sad.
And this is her speaking. And I want you to listen to her excuse for why she was at a nightclub dancing without a mask on.
I had a good time at the Black Cat. And I think it's sad that this is even a story. The fact is, there was something that was really monumental that occurred, and that is Tony, the original members, the brothers, Raphael Saadiq and Dwayne Wiggins, who have not performed in public for, I believe, at least over 20 years. They are just really some of the most incredible artists in the history of this country and the Bay Area in particular. And the fact that that is getting lost here is very unfortunate, not to mention the incredible trumpeter, Maurice Mobetta Brown, who is just phenomenal. These incredible musicians who performed and who really uplifted the spirits of not just myself, but all of the people who were there. And from my perspective, you know, I was there, I was eating, and I was drinking, and I was sitting with my friends, and everyone who came in there was vaccinated. So the fact that we have turned this into a story about being maskless, no, I'm not going to sip and put my mask on, sip and put my mask on, sip and put my mask on, eat and put my mask on. While I'm eating and I'm drinking, I'm going to keep my mask off. And yes, in the end time, while we're drinking, like everyone else there, we were all having a good time. And again, all vaccinated. So the fact that this is even a story is sad.
And then she goes on to say, quote, I was feeling the spirit and I wasn't thinking about a mask, but everyone was vaccinated. Her order for masks has no exception for those who are vaccinated. Yet she thinks because Tony was there, that's the big story. Her not wearing a mask, we shouldn't be talking about that. We should be talking about Tony, the musicians. That to her, that's the big story. She wasn't with a mask on. She wants you to wear a mask, even if you're vaccinated. She doesn't have to have one. Hollywood elite, they don't have to have one. The mayor of D.C. doesn't have to have one. The mayor of New York doesn't have to have one. The governor of New York doesn't have to have one. But you have to. Not only that, you have to put your toddler in a mask. For a cross-country flight, you better have your three-year-old in a mask or prepare to go to jail. Pfizer allegedly now says that trials for low-dose COVID vaccines work fine on children. Already, David Frum, the Atlantic columnist from Canada, says that before anyone can mount opposition, we need to forcibly require vaccines for kids. No choice. Your kids must be vaccinated or else. That's really going to work. The problem here is we are headed towards a period in this country where the elite in this country believe that you must do as they say and they need not. It's like the mayor of Austin, Texas, who told everyone they had to shelter in place because of COVID and then flew off to Mexico, which is one reason they amplified Ted Cruz taking his family out of the country when the power went out in Texas. They wanted to highlight that. The left did, the media did, for hypocrisy because Ted Cruz criticized the mayor, but the mayor's breach was worse. Cruz, at least, was taking his family. He doesn't work for the power company. Take his family out of the country someplace warm while it's freezing in Texas and the lights are off. The mayor of Austin told everyone they had to mask up and stay inside, couldn't leave their home. He got on a private flight, went to Mexico to party with his friends. In an environment where COVID was spreading, but hey, it wasn't Austin. He could do it. The level of hypocrisy from the elite in this country who are telling you to do what they want you to do, even when they don't live up to their own expectations and demands, is stunning, and it's going to cause an even greater backlash in this country. When Hollywood lectures you on Black Lives Matters and the need for diversity and tolerance, and then every single major winner at the Emmys is a white person, you can tell Hollywood doesn't really believe what it's preaching to you. Why should you take them seriously on diversity and Black Lives Matters when they don't take themselves seriously? Why should you wear a mask when the mayor of San Francisco says, well, I was moved by the spirit and the music and took off my mask while I was dancing, and that shouldn't be the story. Why should you do it? The mayor of Washington, D.C. now says pretty much she and the city council don't have to wear masks. They're exempt from her order. Why should you wear a mask? Why should you make your child wear a mask? Why should you do anything these people want you to do when they don't live up to it? All these people who are ridiculing you about being anti-vaccine, many of them were anti-vaccine when it came to the chickenpox vaccine and the MMR because they thought it caused their kids autism, even though it didn't, because they listened to pop celebrities in Hollywood who told them it did despite the science. And now they want to call you anti-science? They're the ones who believe boys can suddenly become girls. By the way, did you hear the story about the guy? He was going into the spa in Los Angeles, and the spa said even though he looked like a dude and was a dude and had dude parts, he identified as a woman. They had to let him in. They let him in. He started exposing himself to women. They said, well, he wasn't exposing himself. He's just a woman who still has her male bits and hadn't cut them off. Nope. Turns out that he's a serial exposer. He just says the I'm a woman bit to be able to get in and do it. Charges are pending against him now. People finally had enough. But the spa was so upset, the woke mob could come for them if they didn't let him in. They took up for him, and he was going in harassing women. How can you take any of these people seriously? The answer is you can't. And that you can't means when the time comes that you do need to take the leadership of this country seriously because something wicked has come, you're not. And who can blame you? And arguably COVID is that time where we do have a pandemic. We do have a virus. But if the elite in this country aren't going to live up to what they want us to do, why should we? They're not. We're not. No one is. Who can blame you? Except they do blame you, and they never blame themselves. That's part of the problem. Now, these people hate your values. I want to tell you about a company that loves your values because it shares your values. That's Patriot Mobile. Great cell phone provider. They have nationwide coverage. You don't believe me? You go to patriotmobile.com. You can see their map. They have coverage nationwide. In fact, they use the towers. The other cell services do, but they're not woke. They're actually conservative. They're Christian, and they're proud to admit it. They give a portion of their profits to pro-life and Second Amendment causes. So you do business with Patriot Mobile. Unlike your current cell phone provider, Patriot Mobile is going to help the pro-life cause, help the Second Amendment cause, help veterans and first responders. Meaningfully so. So go to patriotmobile.com/Eric today. You get free activation with my name. If you've got an unlocked cell phone, you can use it with Patriot Mobile. If you've got a pre-existing cell phone number, you can roll it over to Patriot Mobile. They do all this stuff with a U.S.-based customer service team, so you never have to deal with somebody in Mumbai. It's fantastic. They're fantastic. They love your values because they share your values. It's patriotmobile.com/Eric. That's patriotmobile.com/ERICK. Or call them at 972-PATRIOT. Tell them I sent you. Get free activation with my name. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you'd like to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425. I got to tell you guys, prepare for your head to hurt. So, you know, Sunday nights at my house, I typically, it's bourbon and cigar night. Philip, who handles digital for me, comes over. We have bourbon, good cigars. We had bourbon last night. I had gotten it as a gift from a company, and I did not realize it was like a $3,500 bottle. I had no idea. I really didn't. We finished it off last night. We happened to look up to see how much. Oh, yeah. So basically, I had like a $500 glass of bourbon. But instead of me cooking, I've never had stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut, and Philip loves it. So I was like, you know what? I don't have time to cook. I'll get a stuffed crust pizza. I'll try it. So get the stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut. Put in the order online. It's 120 minutes for delivery. It's 20 minutes for pickup. So I put in the order. Takes me 10 minutes to get there. I figure I'll just go on and go. I get almost to the Pizza Hut, and they call and say, actually, it's for pickup, it's 120 minutes, and for delivery, it's 300 minutes. Would I like them to redirect my order to another Pizza Hut? Sure. tell them where to redirect it to. It's one 15 minutes away up the interstate from me. So I'm by the interstate. I get on the interstate. I head up there. It'll take me 10 minutes, 15 minutes to get there. So the pizza should be ready by the time I get there. I pull in. I go inside. And there's smoke coming out of the oven. And the manager turns around and starts yelling at her daughter. You haven't taken the pizzas out of the oven. And the daughter's reply is, Mom, nobody told me to take the pizzas out of the oven. You told me to do the boxes. I'm doing the boxes. Somebody asked you to get the pizzas out of the oven. All the pizzas are burning because they're backed up in the oven. And guess what? It was my pizza on fire in the oven. And it was stuck in the oven, too. They had to get some guy to take some big long thing and stick in the oven to push the pizza out. And then I had to sit there and wait for them to do it over again. And then they gave me an extra box of breadsticks. I do like the Pizza Hut breadsticks a lot. They gave me an extra box, and I was glad because the box that should have been mine was clearly somebody else's order because it wasn't breadsticks. My goodness gracious.